With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Robinhood Gold provides the privileges of a high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. The new gold standard is here. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold, LLC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, I'm going to be talking about the latest film and TV news. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com. I'm by myself on today's episode. I just wanted to blast through a bunch of movie news, things that we haven't had the chance to talk about in recent days or weeks even. It has been a little while since we did sort of a broad, all-encompassing movie news episode. We did a big one about that great THR article last Thursday. But anyway, today's election day, I didn't want to ask anyone to join me to talk about movie news because I figured people probably didn't want to be talking about movie news today. I'm not even sure that people want to hear about movie news today, but maybe you do. Maybe you'll use this as some sort of distraction from the existential horror that we're faced with right now. Please vote if you haven't voted yet. Okay, that's the last thing I'll say about that for right now. I'm sure we'll be talking about that much more in the days, weeks, years to come. Who knows? Okay, last thing I'll say before I get into the episode proper. Once again, my audio setup is a little bit different today. I've been moved off into a different corner of the house because contractors are here at my house. So once again, if you hear noises in the background, drilling, anything like that, I apologize. I'm trying to keep that to a minimum. Okay. We spent the first half of yesterday's episode basically throwing our hands up and wondering why Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav would make Clint Eastwood's Juror Number 2 if the studio was only going to release it in a handful of theaters and never expand it wide. Two articles have since come out providing a little bit more clarity on this, one at Vulture, one at The Hollywood Reporter. THR's piece claims that Warner Brothers decided from the outset to make Juror Number 2 for Max, the streaming service, and Clint Eastwood gave the okay to that decision. No one has any quotes from Eastwood about this, and he's not doing press for the movie, so we're still a bit in the dark on what he specifically thinks about all of this. These reports also say that the budget is reportedly less than $35 million, and a nationwide marketing push would add tens of millions of dollars on top of that, which is true. Zaslav is trying to grow Max's subscriber base, and he apparently didn't have the confidence that this movie would make enough money in theaters to justify releasing it in that way. There's a quote from Vulture that I want to read to you. This quote is, here we go, "Money is all that matters to Zaz," says an entertainment industry consigliere who has ties to multiple studios and has worked with Eastwood. "His bean counters know that Clint's movies don't bring in money anymore, and Clint is content to make them and likely shove them onto Max or PVOD. Zaslav is not an emotional person. He's a transactional fuck." So that is quite the quote there. Anyway, the movie will be gone from theaters this Thursday. I think it was in something like 35 theaters. I think we said yesterday maybe it was around 50, but evidently it's like between 28 and 35 theaters is the number that I saw being tossed around. It's going to be gone from theaters this Thursday, and it will be available on paid video on demand at some point this month. None of this really answers the question of why there's been a sudden about face from Zaslav when it comes to making movies directly for streaming. As Ryan said on yesterday's episode, he's been staunchly against that over the past couple of years, and no one seems to know if this is a one-off or if his thinking has suddenly shifted on this and we'll be seeing more direct-to-video movies from Warner Brothers going forward. So, very weird situation. Not really sure what the hell is going on over there. But anyway, just wanted to provide a couple of those updates. Okay, speaking of Warner Brothers Discovery, a Game of Thrones movie might finally be happening. The Hollywood Reporter says that HBO has been, quote, quietly developing at least one film, end quote, that is going to be set in the historical fantasy world created by George R.R. Martin. So we don't have any idea about who's writing this movie, who's directing it, any cast members. We don't know if it's going to take place before, during, or after the events of the show that we've already seen. But there is obviously plenty of source material to work from here. I'm not sure about this as an idea. I remember that Benioff and Weiss, the showrunners of Game of Thrones, were once thinking about ending the show with a movie trilogy. That obviously did not happen. So the idea that Warner Brothers Discovery wants to milk this franchise for everything it's worth, once again, not surprising at all, but I'm very curious to see if they're going to try to get the cast members back and continue the story, or get the cast members back and tell kind of an in-between story. Or yeah, doing a prequel doesn't really make a ton of sense to me, just like creatively, story-wise, because it kind of saps a lot of the drama. It's kind of the same thing you could say about doing an in-between story, unless it's about characters who whose ultimate fate we did not find out about in the show. And there are not that many, based on my memory anyway, characters that sort of fit that bill. So anyway, we'll see if this ever actually comes to fruition, but it certainly seems like Warner Brothers Discovery is trying to ramp something up on that front. So shifting over to Netflix, Greta Gerwig's Narnia movie might do something that very few Netflix movies have ever done before. So Gerwig is working on an adaptation of one of the Chronicles of Narnia books. I think it's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but maybe it's unclear. I'm not sure about the exact details there. I think the plan is for her to make multiple movies in this franchise, but yes, she's making this for Netflix. And as you probably know, Netflix does not really like the idea of releasing their movies theatrically. They've done it a handful of times for awards consideration kind of things, qualifications, runs like that for movies that they think have a chance to win Oscars. Other than that, they haven't really done a ton of theatrical stuff. There was Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery that did actually get a decent for Netflix theatrical rollout for a little while. I think it was only for about a week or so. But then that was pulled, and there was a lot of hubbub about that from Daniel Craig and Ted Sarandos, the CEO at Netflix. They kind of butted heads over the idea of, why did you not give this movie more of a theatrical push? That was just not really in Netflix's business model. They just don't like doing that. So now Greta Gerwig is trying to push to shoot this Narnia movie in the IMAX format. And then the plan is to potentially unveil the first of these adaptations as a holiday event over Thanksgiving 2026 in IMAX theaters before putting it on the streamer that Christmas. So this would be very unusual. I think only one other Netflix movie, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny, has ever screened in IMAX theaters in the US. So this would be, again, very unusual and kind of a cool thing, because this would be, my understanding is Gerwig is pushing for a wide rollout for this. So not just like a couple theaters in New York and Los Angeles or something. She's talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of IMAX theaters across the country, or potentially even across the world, hosting this screening of the Chronicles of Narnia movie. So we'll see about that. It would be very interesting to see if Netflix is willing to play ball with her on this. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out from a business perspective, because it could have implications for what other big name directors want from their movies if they move to Netflix in the future. Okay, next up, a new Squid Game series is coming to Netflix from one of our best working directors, and that is David Fincher, who is apparently working on a Squid Game TV series set in the same universe as the Korean language hit series that was on Netflix a couple years ago. This one, I believe, is going to be set in the United States, and it's not going to be a remake. It is, again, just going to be set in that same universe. So we don't really have many more details really beyond that, but these themes of Squid Game, social commentary about class and capitalism and entertainment, very, very much in Fincher's wheelhouse. So it kind of makes sense. But I must admit, I would be disappointed to see this happen, because I would just want to see Fincher make his own stuff. But he definitely has a relationship with Netflix, thanks to the Mindhunter show that he helped kickstart. He obviously was a big part of Netflix's roll out into streaming in general with House of Cards. So he definitely has a working relationship with the streamer. But yeah, just the idea of him making a TV show set in the Squid Game universe, I don't know. It could be good. I'm withholding full judgment, but I kind of hope this one falls apart too. All right, next up, I wanted to mention Marvel Studios released a video teasing several of their Disney Plus shows coming up. And we wrote about that. Daredevil Born Again, I think, is the one that a lot of people probably care the most about in the batch of shows that we saw in this new teaser. I didn't see any, I think maybe I watched like two episodes or something of the Netflix Daredevil show back in the day. So I'm not fully up to speed on all that. So I'm not going to really comment on that. But Jeremy Mathai, who has seen all of the show, wrote an article for us called The Six Most Exciting Details in Marvel's Daredevil Born Again Teaser. So if you're excited about that, check that out. There's some cool little things that he points out in that article that I think might be of interest to you. And then before we take a break, I wanted to mention that Orphan 3 is happening. This is really unusual because Isabel Furman played a character named Esther in Jaume Collet-Serra's 2009 movie Orphan. And then years and years later, I think it was 13 years later, she came back and played the same character in a prequel movie called Orphan First Kill. And they chose not to recast the role with somebody who is age appropriate. They just chose to have the same actress play the same part again, even though she was 25 years old when the sequel was made. So now a new movie is coming from writer David Coggeshall and William Brent Bell, who's the director of Orphan First Kill. He's coming back to direct this one. And so now this is actually happening, and we don't know exactly when this is going to be set in the timeline, but it seems pretty logical to have this be another prequel. But man, who knows what's going on? I just love the wild swing of what they're doing with the casting here. Okay, let's take a break and then we'll be right back.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
All right, here's something I'm personally very excited about. There is a reboot of Cliffhanger that is in the works. I think production has just begun. So this has been in the works for a long time. Sylvester Stallone was supposed to come back and star in this movie. He starred in the 1993 film that was directed by Rennie Harlan. But now Stallone is out. He is no longer participating in the sequel, and it's going to be a reboot starring Lily James and Pierce Brosnan. So I'm going to read the synopsis here. In this reboot of Cliffhanger, seasoned mountaineer Ray Cooper, played by Pierce Brosnan, and his daughter Sydney run a mountain chalet in the Dolomites. During a weekend trip with a billionaire's son, they are targeted by a gang of kidnappers. Ray's older daughter, Naomi, played by Lily James, still haunted by a past climbing accident, witnesses the attack and escapes. To save her family, she must confront her fears and fight for survival in the Italian Dolomites. So this sounds awesome. They're using large format cameras to really lean into the scope and the scale of this thing. And the director for this, interestingly enough, is going to be Jaume Collet-Serra, who we talked about earlier, who directed the first Orphan movie. So we've talked about his filmography before. He directed kind of some stinkers, Black Adam and Jungle Cruise recently, but he's also directed a bunch of really cool Liam Neeson action movies and The Shallows with Blake Lively that I liked quite a bit. So I'm choosing to be hopeful for this. It sounds like a cool way to bring some new life to Cliffhanger, which is a property, I guess, that I liked a lot. I really enjoyed that first movie. Okay, next up, a God of War TV show is going to be showrun by Ronald D. Moore, who was the brains behind Battlestar Galactica, or certainly the showrunner of that show. He's worked in Star Trek for a long time. I've played a little bit of the God of War game, but like the 2018 version, but I'm not really steeped in the mythology or the lore of that. Similarly, I've dipped in and out on some Star Trek TV stuff here and there. I've never seen Battlestar Galactica, so I can't really comment on Ronald D. Moore being maybe the best fit for this. I don't know his work well enough, but I just wanted to share that in case that is of interest to you. Next up, Chris Hemsworth is in talks to lead a Prince Charming movie for Disney that is going to be directed by Paul King, who directed the first two Paddington films and then recently directed Wonka, starring Timothée Chalamet. Hemsworth is being eyed to play the title character in Prince Charming. obviously this is going to be the latest in Disney's attempt to basically adapt every single animated movie that they possibly can and turn it into a live action thing. It might be worth noting, though, that as much as the Prince Charming character tends to be connected to Cinderella, this movie is not going to be linked to that princess. It sounds like it's going to be focusing on the prince, really, which is something that we haven't quite seen before. So it's not just going to be a standard retelling of an animated movie, which is always, I think, one of the worst things that they could do creatively. So it could be interesting, maybe. And certainly Chris Hemsworth has a great sense of humor. And so if they make this a comedy, which it seems like Paul King's sensibility might lead more toward that than having this be, I don't know, some sort of serious thing or even like an action centric thing, then maybe there could be something here. So that's as positive as you're going to find for me talking about a Disney live action take on some of their animated properties, I think. So there you go. Next up, we have Sony Pictures announced last week that the new Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 4, which is going to be directed by Destin Daniel Cretton and starring Tom Holland, is going to be coming out on July 24th, 2026, which is just around, I think, a week around the time that Christopher Nolan's next movie is supposed to be coming out, which also stars Tom Holland. So I'm not sure exactly which of these movies is going to move. It certainly seems like one of them probably should, because if nothing else, just the amount of IMAX screens that will be taken up by one or the other seems like something that they wouldn't want to split between them. But as for right now, we have a Tom Holland face-off basically in summer 2026. So stay tuned for more on that. I wanted to mention that Tom Cruise apparently wants to make a sequel to Days of Thunder, the NASCAR movie that he made that was kind of in the wake of the original Top Gun. Obviously, Top Gun Maverick was a huge, huge deal for him and for Paramount and for the movie industry as a whole. But Days of Thunder is not as beloved as the original Top Gun was. And there have been a bunch of other racing movies in the years since, so it doesn't quite have the same novelty when you return to that world. I mean, I guess it's been a little while since there's been a NASCAR-specific movie, but like Joseph Kaczynski, who directed Top Gun Maverick, is making that F1 movie with Brad Pitt that's coming out next summer, and that's going to be what I imagine Cruise would want a Days of Thunder sequel to look like, just in terms of like the camera placement and the visceral thrills and like, hey, you can see me in the cockpit, you know, all the typical Tom Cruise kind of stuff. So it just seems like a little desperate to me to return to the world of Days of Thunder all these years later. And finally, I just wanted to mention, I don't even think we wrote about this at Slash Film, but I saw this story and thought it was extremely unusual, which is Universal is making 4 live action Lego movies. So I think it's Kevin and Dan Hageman are working on, they're brothers. They're working on a live action Lego Ninjago movie, which, sure. Okay. That's strange. And then also you've got Jake Kasdan, who did the most recent Jumanji movies. You've got Patty Jenkins, who obviously did Wonder Woman, and then Joe Cornish, who directed Attack the Block. They are working on 3 separate live action movies, like 3 additional separate live action Lego movies. So nobody really knows what the stories are for any of these. I just find it really unusual that Universal and the Lego group have decided to go live action with these, because it seemed like the animated versions of these Lego movies were doing pretty well and introduced kind of like a new style to Hollywood, which is always appreciated. And so the idea of doing a live action Lego movie, like, what is that? That seems way less dynamic, way less visually interesting. So I don't know, maybe they have a unified style that these people are talking about working on and sort of applying to all of these movies, but that just definitely seems weird to me. So I wanted to mention it here. Okay, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about almost everything that we talked about at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.